Get your Bibles. Open them up to Romans chapter 15. I thank God for our apostle. Amen. I'll say it again so you can answer a little louder. I thank God for our apostle. Amen. You know, there's some things that, you know, sometimes we church folks like to think that we know some stuff. Right? We get a few scriptures under our belt. We go to a few services. You know what I'm saying? We fall out in the anointing a few times, and we tend to think we know a few things. But I thank God for an apostle because he always has something to show us that we don't know. Always has another realm to take us in that we can't go to on our own. You know, the truth of the matter is sometimes, most of the time, you need to be escorted to the next level. You can't just walk to the next level. With the fairly independent mindset that society has, and this mindset where we don't need anybody else, or I'm my own man, I'm my own woman, I can think for myself, I got my rights and all these different things. Sometimes we have the tendency to think that in the next level in the spirit, we can just walk in. That's not the case. You need somebody to escort you in. You need somebody to take you somewhere that you've never been before. Show you some things that you've never seen before. I thank God. Listen to me. I'm slapping my head because I need to. I thank God for Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr. Because there are, I'm not, listen, hold on. Listen, we're going to clap. I'm not saying that because my daddy. I'm glad he's my daddy, though. But I'm not saying it because of that. I appreciate it. Listen, I'm going to speak for myself because sometimes we won't admit it. Sometimes I think I'm kind of smart. You too. You think you know a few things. The Lord told you a couple of revelations. You think you know something. And just, it's the moment when you think you know that God sent an apostle here to tell you something. And it just wipe out everything you thought you knew. Right? Key is, let me say this. This is not important. But key is, you know when he said, suffer little children to come unto me. If you be as a child. The key is to always keep a clean slate. Listen to me. If you really want to receive, always keep a clean slate. Paul said, not as though I've already attained. I never act like I already know something already. I never assume that I got the answer already. I always push forward. I press forward towards the mark. I'm always approaching the word, approaching my apostle, like he's about to tell me something that I don't know. I drop my stuff off at the door. When you keep a clean slate like that, when you keep open, then he can keep escorting you, keep taking you, keep advancing you, keep showing you different levels. Supernatural hope. Oh, my God. Y'all must not have heard him last week. Supernatural hope. Oh, I'm in the back and it's like, poof, like it's just blowing up everything because I'm trying to live by faith. The gesture live by. So I'm trying to work your faith, right? And trying to do all these things, but we leave out hope. Everybody say hope.
Hope.
Everybody say keep hope alive.
Keep hope.
Come on, say it again. Say keep hope alive.
Keep hope alive.
Come on, look at your neighbor and say don't give up hope.
Don't give up hope.
Look at your other one. Tell them don't give up hope.
Don't give up hope.
We've been trying to work faith, and I thank God, Lord Jesus. I keep saying it. I thank God for the revelation. You know, hope was always an honorable mention. Tell the truth, you were trying to read quick through the scripture so you can get to love or so you can get to faith, and you just took hope because you really didn't know what, you just say it's expecting. And you really didn't know how much of a place it plays in your manifestation. Keep hope alive, say it again. And so we'll glaze over hope and we'll glaze over it and we'll jump on faith and we try to work our faith. But why we ain't got no manifestation? Bottom line, we can talk about the rhetoric and we can talk about the scriptures that you know and all this stuff. But why we don't have more manifestation than we have? Somewhere there's a missing link. Somewhere there's something missing that we're either skipping over or we're not giving the attention to. Keep hope alive. Romans chapter, and I'll leave off Romans chapter 15, and I'm going to say a lot of the same stuff Paul said because I learned to not try to go get your own message. Amen. I was hearing what he's saying. I'm listening. I listened to last week's message. Amen, amen. I'm asking a question, but I ain't even asking for your answer. But I listened to last week's message. I went and listened to it over. I didn't just leave it at church on Sunday. I went and listened to it again. How many? I ain't going to ask you. Amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. He said, biblical hope is a firm confidence from God about future issues because they are based on God's promises and revelation. I'll say it again, biblical hope. You know, you talk about natural hope. Natural hope is just an expectation of something good to happen in the future, right? But now it's a little stronger because it's a firm confidence from God. Everybody say firm confidence. It's a firm confidence from God about future issues because, here it is right here, because they are based on God's promises and revelation. I'll say it again. They're based on God's promises and his revelations. Come on, everybody say promises and revelations. So now our hope has to be based on nothing else. It is not a feel-good feeling. It is not if everything is going good today. It is not about what happened in your life. It's all based on God's promises and his revelations. Romans 15, and I'll read it. We'll flip over and read a couple of your favorite scriptures. Verse 12, and again, Isaiah said, there shall be a root of Jesse. I got it in my Bible. I wrote Jesus. He's talking about Jesus right there. And he that rise to reign over the Gentiles, and in him shall the Gentiles trust. Everybody say trust. Trust. Come on, say it again, trust. Trust. Verse 13 says, now the God of hope. Wow, now we read the scripture last week. Now the God of hope. He calls him the God of hope. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of what? Through the power of what? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. So we are bound in hope. We'll have joy and peace in hope from the God of hope through the Holy Ghost. Everybody say through the Holy Ghost. Flip over to Romans chapter 5. I know there's a lot of y'all favorites. A couple pages back. Romans chapter 5. And I start off reading at verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the... Rejoice in the what?
Hope.
I say it louder. Rejoice in what?
Hope.
Hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. You know, we always like to say trials and tribulations are going to come in this life, right? But we glory inside the tribulation. Anybody ever went through any tribulation? That's a deep word. That's a deep biblical word. That means something just going on in your life. Something going on that shouldn't be going on, and you don't like how it feels. But we glory in tribulation. Now, it don't say after tribulation. We glory in tribulation also. What's the next word? What's the next word? Knowing that tribulation is working patience. You see that? Now, always remember this. Patience is not just waiting. Waiting is a part of patience, but patience is not defined by waiting. Patience means being consistent and the same function and the same manner no matter what. That's what it means to be patient. So let's talk about the waiting, because sometimes we be impatient when we're waiting on somebody, but you're still going to keep that smile on your face. Your tone of voice not going to change. You remain the same through it all. It never changes. You remain consistent. Tribulation working patience. We all need patience, amen? And patience, experience. 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 The Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So that patience works experience. That means experience. I wrote this down in my notes. We need experiences. We don't like them all, but we need them because you really never know what you got until you got to use it. You really never know. You know, people talking about, I got hands, I can fight. We don't know if you can fight till somebody hits you. We really don't know. You really don't know. You can go work out and box and do all that, but you really don't know what you got until you get into a fight. We know somebody's a great fighter because we've seen them fight and we've seen them win the fight. You never really know. So that works experience. What we need to do as people of God, and I got to go on in this, but we need to stop running from these experiences. To me, when something shows up, that gives God another opportunity to get some glory. When something comes up in my life, I don't care what it is, because I know already how the outcome is going to be, because my hope is in his promise and in his revelation. When something comes up, I'm ready. Come on, let's box. I'm going to win anyway, but let's box anyway so I can show you. Makes me stronger. A lot of people live life and don't want anything bad to happen. They don't want to go through nothing. You know, a diamond is really nothing but a piece of coal that had enough pressure put on it. Sometimes you got to go through some things and deal with some things to sharpen up. You know, they say iron sharpen iron. Yeah, they got to hit. It got to be some clashing. Got to be some friction going on in order to become sharpened. Experience. Everybody say experience. And it says this. Then it says, an experience, hope. Everybody say hope. Come on, say it again, hope. Now remember, hope is a firm confidence. I'm going to say it again. Firm confidence from God about future issues because they are based on God's promises and revelation. Whenever you see hope, you think about that definition. It's confidence. An experience, hope. Verse 5, and this is our favorite. We'll read it together because I know it's our favorite. Verse 5, ready, read. So now hope make it not a shame, because the love of God, hope make it not a shame. Hope make it not a shame. So hope ain't going to make me ashamed. I'm not going to be ashamed in my hope, because the love of God is shed abroad in my hearts. By who? By who? Now remember over Romans 15, it said the same thing, joy and peace by the Holy Ghost. So we need the Holy Ghost. Say thank you for the Holy Ghost. Come on, go ahead and tell the Lord, say thank you for the Holy Ghost. And hope make it not ashamed. Your hope will not make you ashamed. You will not be ashamed as long as you are in hope because of the love of God. Now listen to this. See, when you become shamed, this is how you get shamed. When you're trying to operate in your faith and you say all these things you're going to do, and then when it don't come through like you thought it was supposed to come through, then you shame. Then you fall back. Then you're really embarrassed because you just said all these different dreams and all these different things that God was going to do, but it ain't really come through like you said it was going to happen when you said it was going to happen. And so now you shame. Sometimes you need to keep your mouth closed. God tell you something, shut your mouth. Why you got to go tell the whole world? It ain't that, just shut your mouth and walk. Because hope, this is hope, a confidence in God. A confidence in God. Hope ain't got nothing to do with what you're saying. Hope is not a confession. Listen to me. Hope is not a confession. Hope is not when God shows you something and you start running your mouth. That ain't hope. You're just running your mouth. Hope is a firm confidence. Hope comes from within. It's not a bunch of actions on the outside and a bunch of stuff. No, it's a firm confidence of what God has promised. Hope make it not a shame because. What does because mean? It's the cause of, this be the cause. So hope makes not ashamed because, well, read the scripture. Look at it. Hope makes not ashamed, why? Because what? The love of God is shed abroad where? How? So my hope doesn't make me ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Everybody say love. The hope. Listen. We know this. We know this. And we jump here. Faith. We know that faith works by. Don't we? We read the scripture, right? Faith working by love. But your hope comes from the same place. Remember, it's a firm confidence from God about future issues based on his promises and his revelation. Based on his promises and his revelation. It is based on his promises and his revelations. So now my hope make it not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Listen, get a revelation of God loving you and your hope will stay flying. Do God love you or not? Does God love you? Yes. Now, sometimes we don't say this enough in our prayer. We say a lot of different things in our prayer time. We say a lot of different stuff while we're praying and talking to God. And we quickly won't tell him, we love you, God, we love you, God, we love you, God. But sometimes you just need to chill and say, God loves me. Talk to him. Next time he talks, say, God, I know you love me. Lead our brother. God, listen, I know you love me. Now, when you're saying that, what you're saying is, God, I know you're not going to let me fall. God, I know you're not going to leave me lonely. God, I know you're not going to hang me out to dry. God, I know you're going to answer every time I call you because you love me. Because you love me. Because you love me. So now it's based hope. Everybody say hope.
Hope.
Come on, say keep hope alive.
Keep hope alive.
The hope is based on the promise that God will never leave you. If you really, ahead of myself, calm down, Montreal. If you really, listen to me. If you really understood this, how much God really loves you, your hope will catapult and stay in the air there because it's based on the revelation. If you really understood how much he really cares for you and loves you, you keep hope alive. You keep hope alive because it's based on his love. And hope make it not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. How? By the Holy Ghost. Listen. It's based on confidence. It's confidence, firm confidence from God about future issues because they are based on God's promises and revelation. Now listen to me. I'm going to say a lot of things, and I don't want to be jumping all over the place, but I want to connect some things. It's based on the promise. Hope is based on the promise. Say it. Hope. It's based on the problem. Now remember, and I'm not talking about hope, this little feeling or wishful thinking. When you look it up in the regular dictionary, it says wishful thinking. I'm not talking about wishful thinking. I'm talking about confidence that is based on the promises of God. You flip over, and you ain't got to flip far to chapter 4, Romans chapter 4, and we get to talking about Abraham for a minute, but it's based on a promise. Listen to me. Without a promise, there'll be no hope. Inside of the promise is enough hope to bring it to manifestation. When God is not a man that he should lie, if he said it. Come on, that's scripture, right? God is not a man that he should lie. If he says it, he'll make it good, all right? There's not one word that God didn't put out that's returned to him void. So when God said at the beginning, let there be light, what happened? There was light. There was no question. There was no work. Light. Let there be light. Light. Within the promise comes the hope. It's on the inside. When God speaks to you about that thing, the hope is built on the inside of it. Hope is the oxygen of your faith. If you breathe all your hope out and you don't never keep it going, then your faith dies. What happened to you if you stop breathing? You don't get no more oxygen. What's going to happen? Hope is the oxygen of your faith. I got to read this. Let me read this because I know. He said, I'm quoting it. I hope I quote it just like he said. He said, hope holds a signal and a picture before our faith. Then he said, it's like a lighthouse. Hope has to stay alive. Inside the promise, within the promise, within the promise is the hope therein. The hope is on the inside. It comes with the word. It comes with the promise. It comes with the revelation. It is already on the inside of that. So you don't have to go look for it here and there. Where's hope? It's not over here. It's over there. It's inside the promise. When the promise comes, when the word is spoken to you, when God told you about that thing that he called you to do or gave you that dream, the hope is on the inside. Listen to me. I speak about myself sometimes. It can be easy to you can kind of lose hope or lose faith for things when it don't happen right when you want it to happen. Amen. Is anybody with me in the house of the Lord? And so we start saying, well, maybe we need to go another way, or maybe we need to do something else, or maybe it just maybe I missed it. A lot of times it ain't gonna happen tomorrow. Let me ease your mind and your heart right now. Let me ease your hope. Sometimes it's not gonna happen tomorrow. How long it took you to become the person that you are today? You ain't pop out and came out fully dressed. The Lord told me one time, he said, everything that's happened before you has made you the person that you are now. It took all, I wouldn't change a thing about my past. Listen to me, everybody, I wouldn't change a thing. It took everything up until now to make me the person that I am and give me the understanding that I have. It took all of that. And so sometimes there's a trying going on, there's a push going on, because it's developing your muscles. So when he dropped down, that when a dream really manifests on your shoulder, you're strong enough to carry it and maintain it. I don't want it if I'm not strong enough to carry it. Because what I'm going to end up doing is being an embarrassment. I don't want it, I receive it. I don't want it if I'm not strong enough to carry it and carry it on. I don't want God to give me a dream for me to fumble. I want to be trained. I want to be strong enough. So if that means I got to go through some workouts, if that means I got to sweat a little bit, if that means I got to get hit a couple times to understand what it feels like to get hit, then so be it. Because when he dropped this thing off, I'm not dropping the ball. Keep hope alive. Come on, say it. Keep hope alive. Come on, say it again. Keep hope alive. I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care what happened. I don't care what your children are doing. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what your bank account said. Keep hope alive. There's several promises over and over in the Bible. God promised us to prosper us. God promised us to keep us healthy. God promised us, he promised us a heaven after this life. Do you know that we're actually living a Christian lives by hope? You ain't been there. You ain't never been there. But you are sure, and you live your life away that you know, I'm going to see my king, right? It's hope. It's hope. It's hope, y'all. It's hope. I thank God for Apostle. Listen to me. Because I was trying to work my faith. So you know, we learn to confess it and believe it. And nothing's wrong with confessing and believe it, but we learn to confess it and believe it. So I'm saying it, 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 saying it. But I get tired because my mouth gets dry. I just get tired of saying it. Saying it, 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 believe it. But I don't really know if I really believe. Because I said it the last 32 days, but I ain't seen nothing yet. So now my belief is wavering, but I know it's really not, you know, I know I'm supposed to believe, but I also know in the scripture, they say he helps my unbelief. That man said, if thou can believe, Jesus, something that you believe. He said, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. Lord, I believe, but please help my unbelief. Can we be honest about that in here? We believe, but we got some unbelief in there. And usually your unbelief is because you didn't see it right when you heard it, right? Lord, I believe. But I know he'll help my unbelief. He'll be my helper in my unbelief. He'll help the places where I ain't got full belief. Hope. Everybody say hope. Stop complaining. Huh? Would you please? Stop complaining. Understand that God has promised a great and marvelous life for you. It may not look like it today, but trust me, it is on its way. I look at the word promise, man, and I look at the definition. And it says a statement telling someone that you will definitely do something, or that something will definitely happen in the future. It says an indication of future success or improvement. Watch this. You ready? Promise. It says a reason to expect that something will happen in the future. I'm becoming a student of words. I think they call it etymology. And I don't know if I'm saying it right, but if I ain't, then I'll fix it later. But it's a student where it shows you the origin of words. You know, we speak English, but English wasn't the original language. So sometimes our words, there'll be words I receive. There are words that meant something. I'll give you a quick one, the word currency. What is currency? You think money, huh? No, currency means flow. Think about currency, current. The original thing was flow. It didn't become money till 1961 or something like that. Currency is really a flow. Current, like the word current, think about current. Currency really means a flow and now. Current affairs right now, I say that to say sometimes we just don't know what we be saying. We don't know what words really be meaning, and we be throwing out words, and we be just saying all kind of different stuff and making up all kind of different things and just saying it because the people before us said it, right? Y'all know it's true, right? And so how many promises we done made? I promise you I was there. Lying. And we just throw these promises around. The Bible talks about don't make a promise. The Bible say don't make a promise you ain't going to keep. There's one thing about today's Christianity, today's side, that I wish we go back. The words meant more. When you said something, you really meant it. When you made a promise, you really stood by that promise. Or you wouldn't say nothing. If you can't say nothing good, don't say nothing. But a promise. It's a reason to expect that something good is going to happen in the future. A promise. I can base a confidence, a firm confidence about future issues that are based on his promises, which is the reason for it, based on his promises and his revelations. Before we can fully function in hope, I ask the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible talks about Holy Spirit as our helper and our God. I'm going to send you a comfort. He's going to teach you things you do not know, show you things you don't know. Guide you into all truth. Right? Right? That's what he does, right? Ask the Holy Ghost to give me a revelation of his love and what hope is for. Give me a revelation of it. Because when I get a revelation, when I get a revelation of the promise, then I can actually function in hope. The reason why it's so easy for you to lose hope a lot of times is because you don't really have a revelation of the promise. If we can be honest. We haven't taken enough time to hammer the promise down on the inside of us. We haven't let the Holy Ghost. We asked the Holy Ghost to do all this other stuff. We haven't asked him to give us a revelation of what was promised to me. What did he tell you? What did the Lord tell you? What is that thing that he promised you that you wrote down in that little notepad and now you don't know where the notepad at? What is that idea, that concept? What is that thing that he spoke to you that woke you up in the middle of the night and you couldn't stop thinking about it for a week? Where is that right now? Where is that? What you did with it? Get a revelation of the promise. Hold on to what he promised you. Now, we're not talking about me making a promise. Or we're not talking about you making a promise. We're talking about God making a promise. Listen, can I tell you how he stamped the promise? With his son, Jesus Christ. When he sent Jesus down to die for us, to live the life and to die for our sins, to shed his blood, to die for our sins and to raise him up, he made a promise to us that he'd do everything that he said he would do. If he said something out of his mouth, he was going to make it come to pass. Over and over again, we see that in the Bible. We see hope and promise, hope and promise. You remember when Noah, they had the flood, and he killed everybody except Noah and his family, right? Then he did a rainbow. He said, I make this as a vow to you that I'll never do this again. So it's a we still hanging on that promise because, Lord, please don't do it again. We'll read a little bit about Abraham in a second, but you know, all through the Bible, when the apostle started preaching last week, and my mind just kind of opened up because when you pick up something that you usually skip over, then it's like a piece of the puzzle. Anybody ever done a puzzle before, right? You know, if you ain't got that piece, it aggravates the mess out you, but you don't have a clear picture because you don't have the piece that you need to fill in that spot. But when you put that piece in, sense of a confident, then it's a manifestation. Now you can actually see what's going on. He started talking about hope, and I realized I know about faith, all of this. But there is no by faith without hope. You know that, right? There is no by faith without hope. You cannot skip hope. So now if he's talking about by faith, then I know there was some hope involved too. You know, it's hope all through the Bible. When God made a promise to Abraham and told him what he's going to do, there had to be some hope involved for him to keep walking. Come on, Noah, he said, they had never seen rain. There had to be hope. Had to be trust and hope. Everybody say trust. And hope. See, I got to trust God. Say, I trust God. Come on, say it again. I trust God. Come on, say it again. I trust God. There got to be trust and hope. So he tell Noah that. He tell Abraham that. He give Joseph a dream. All that junk Joseph went through for him to still maintain and still be doing what he was supposed to do, he had to keep hope alive. All throughout the Bible. He said, he told Joshua, see that I've given you Jericho. But Jericho right there, and I still see the walls there. But he said, see, I've given. You know the scripture says, seeing but you don't see? Hearing but you don't hear don't make no sense, right? You got to use them other eyes. You gotta get out your eyes and get on his eyes. Right. See, I have given you Jericho. That's some strong words for God to say, I have done something. So stop focusing on the walls so much. Stop. Our problem is what you focus on expands. Everybody say that. What you focus on expands. The problem is you're focusing on the wall in front of you, or you're focusing on the problem, and so the problem keeps expanding and your hope keeps deflating. Because you're looking at the wrong thing. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. You're looking at the wrong thing. Change your vision. Based on a promise, because I know God loves me. Then I know when he speaks to me and he tells me something or gives me a promise or says something to me, I can operate in full hope, knowing that it will come to pass, because he's the one that brings them to pass. He don't lie, y'all. No, I'm not. Straight up talking. This ain't preaching right now. We just talking. He don't lie. He can't. The Bible say that. He can't lie. So if he promised you something, I gave you something, trust me, he going to bring it to pass. Listen, and he gave it to you because you was the only one that can do it. He gave it to you because you was the one that he searched all over the world and found that could fulfill that thing. You the one. You the one that he chose for that. He don't need me to do it. He need me to do what he need me to do. He needs you to do what he chose you to do. Whatever he promised you. You the one. Look at your neighbor and say, you the one. Every joint supply. That's what he's talking about. When he's saying every joint supply, when we all keep the promise and we all keep hope in what he promised me to do, everything comes together. You the one. You the one he called to do that. Stop. Listen, I had a problem. I was always trying to get somebody else to do something for me. Why we can't do it? No. He said, you're the one I called to do it. Get up and do it. Don't wait for nobody else. You the one. Thank you. I'm going to sweat a little bit, though. I don't want to wipe it off. You the one. He chose you for a reason. Yeah, he chose you for a reason. No, y'all ain't hearing me. He chose you. Receive the call. Receive the commission. Receive the dream. And have hope. Listen, sit down. Listen. Hope. Everybody say hope. Come on. Say keep hope alive. Listen. What hope makes me do, hope makes me want to wake up in the morning and keep doing what I'm doing. Do everything look good all the time? No. But my hope in the promise that he gave me keeps me walking. It's not too late. It's not too late. Your window hasn't passed. Keep hope alive. It's based on, did he promise you something? Now, I know we're excited right now, but I gotta get to something. It's based on the promise. Romans 4:21 says, and being fully persuaded. And you need to read that chapter. What we need to do is people stop picking our favorite scriptures and trying to build our manifestation off of that scripture. No, you need to read a little context. And so you need to read that yourself. I don't have time to read all that right now, because it's talking about the promise in verse 13 and the promise in verse 16 and talking about hope in verse 15 and verse 18 and all. Just keep going on. But watch this. It says, verse 21, and being fully persuaded. Well, how persuaded? Okay, so I mean, you can be a little persuaded, but you ain't, right? Because it says be fully persuaded. So sometimes you're a little persuaded, but this will hope kick in, right? But being fully persuaded, what the rest of the scripture say? That what he had promised, he was also able to perform. What he had promised, he is also able to perform. Listen, that'll preach by itself. What he had promised, he is also able to perform. What it's saying is, what he promised, he's going to do it. He'll do exactly what he said he's going to do. When you receive the promise, listen to me. When you receive the promise, what is that dream? When you receive the promise, you keep hope alive, and it inflates your faith to bring the manifestation. Let me tell you a few things about hope real quick. And it's based on his love, and it's based on his promise, his confidence in his promise and his revelation. So the prerequisite to my hope really being what it's supposed to be, and then eventually my faith kicking in and my manifestation coming to fruition and coming in life, the prerequisite is a promise and a revelation. Now, I know we were feeling good a little bit, but I'm going to deal with you for a second. Everybody say you love me. Come on, say I love you, Montreal. Don't feel no kind of way what I'm about to say, because I ain't said it. I said it to myself first before I said it to you. So this is for all of us. That thing that you so-called hoping for, did he promise you that? That thing that you're trying to hold on to or make happen, did he promise you? See, I wrote down, the Holy Ghost showed me something. I wrote down and said, you know, if you're trying to operate in hope on something that's not connected to his will, that's really lust. Mm-hmm. It's all based on his will. It's all based on his will. It's not based on a feel good, what you think you want, what you think you want. You know, I know God, he always give you better than what you thought you wanted. That's why the scripture says he give you the desires of your heart. He give you your desire. Now, he don't give you what you desire. He give you a desire. Because my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are, he said he'll do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask. Oh, think, trust me, his thoughts are better. There's some things on the inside of you that only he can bring out of you, but if you stick to your own thoughts, you'll never reach that height. It's totally dependent on him. You know, I wrote this down, and, you know, truthfully, ain't none of this about you. Truthfully, don't none of this manifest. But without God, I got I wear these shirts and they say expect the fresh, and I thought it was one thing. The Lord bust my head one Saturday morning and said, no, that's a real thing. That's not like a slogan. He said, that's a real thing. He said, expect the fresh, because you can't make fresh. He told me, he said, watch this. You ready for this one? He said, y'all talking about being creative? He said, you don't create nothing. He said, the only thing you can do is receive creativity from me, because I am the creator. You can't make a thing. Why are we trying to make it? Hey, how you doing this, mom? I'm just trying to make it. You ain't gonna make it. You can't make it. Listen to me. It is not about you. I wrote this down this morning. I believe the Holy Ghost told me this. He said, the same way you came into this world, the same way you live in this world. Think about it for a second. The same way you came into this world, the same way you live in this world. Oh, y'all gonna break it down a little bit? What you did to get here? Not a doggone thing. You ain't do a doggone thing to get here. You ain't do nothing to get here. You ain't birthed yourself. You didn't try to fight your way out. You didn't do nothing. If it was up to you, as the babies are, you'd still be trying to swim into the belly. Is it a baby trying to fight to get back in when it's birth time? No. If it's up to you, you wouldn't even came out and manifested. So you live in this life the way you came in this life. It had nothing to do with you. It had nothing to do with your effort and your works. You know, that's why the Bible says, for by grace you are saved through faith. And it is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's a gift from God. It's not going to be how hard you work. Work, but it's not about that. It's about his love for you. There's two different types of work. And our problem is when we see not of works, we get off over that stuff that we ain't got to do nothing. But here's the thing. It's not your work. It's not of your works. Because you got to work. There's a work that you can make happen. That's the work that we've been doing right now. And ain't nothing been happening. Come on. Can you say amen, please? Please say amen. So I know that we're not denied. We're not in denial. That thing that we keep doing, but ain't nothing happening, that's our work. So that's why ain't nothing happening. But there's another work. The work of the Father, the work of the cross, the work of God that works. It is God working in you to will and to do. It's that work through you. Everybody say receive.
Receive.
Come on, say everybody say receive.
Receive.
Come on, say it again, receive. Receive. It's the work through you that manifests from you. Listen to me, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. See, but there's a work. There's a work, but it's not your work. It's him working through you. I was swimming a little bit yesterday, and I don't know if you noticed, but if you just lay on your back a little bit and let go, you'll float. You know, last week we kept on talking about hope. I think there's a movie called Hope Floats. Hope does float. But if you lay back, something that God give you a random revelation in a random place. I'm laying there. And you know, but it's tough. Oh, you got to relax, but it's tough. It's tough because you don't want water in your nose. You just don't like it. If you don't want to go under, you don't want to go under. So it's tough. But you know, if you lean back a little bit and just let it go, you'll flow. It's a true thing. For the first time yesterday, I kind of let it all go. And it just floated on to the other side. And just floated on over there. And I just floated. Because if you let go, you'll flow. But the problem be that you ain't got no trust in what's already built on the inside of you.
Wow.
What's making you float is the air that's already on the inside of you. You remember in the beginning, he breathed into us and we became a living soul, right? You know, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, right? You know, the kingdom of God is within us, right? But you don't trust what's within, so you start fighting. And you won't let go. You won't let go. You won't let go. Everybody say, let go. Come on, come on. Come on, say it loud. Say, let go. If you let go, then hope will float and it'll manifest whatever it is you got that God didn't promise you. But if you keep holding on, if you keep working, if you keep using your hands, if you keep doing the things that you got to do, it'll never manifest. You'll live and die and never see what God called you to be. But if you just lean back and let go, lean back and let go, lean back. You know, I'm crucified with Christ. Lean back. Jesus said, no, you don't take my life. I lay it down. No. You're not going to take it. I lay it down. You know, the devil can't take your hope. He can't. 5 minutes Christmas where he said he'll steal your hope. He's trying to steal the word from you. He's trying to make you fearful, but he can't take your hope. The only way you lose hope is if you give up hope. You give up hope. Or what they say, you lose hope. That's the only way that hope won't work. But if you just let go, it'll flow. If you let go, you'll stay above the water. If you let go, it'll stay on the top and it'll never go under. The moment that I started fighting and I got a little nervous and my little shoulder dipped a little bit, the moment that I did it, the moment the water went all up in my nose and in my face. Because I keep still, stand still. Stand still, the scripture, right? Stand still to see the salvation of the Lord, right? Could you keep still? Would you stop being a busybody? This is what God does. It's going to make you a promise, right? Inside that promise is the hope. All you got to do is hope and believe and trust that what he said will come to pass. Well, what do I do every day in between? I listen to the Holy Ghost to see what the next step is. You don't know the next step. So every moment, I'm looking for a fresh word on how to do. The life that I live in the flesh, I live it by the faith what? Of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, right? But I live by the faith of the Son of God, right? I don't live by my faith because I ain't got no faith. Like, my faith is the faith of the Son of God. Well, what was the faith of the Son of God? I say this over and over again. But Jesus said, I only do what my Father tells me to do. And the man said, as I hear, I judge. As has two different meanings. That means just like and just when. So right when I heard it, and just like I heard it, that's when I did it. Other than that, I really don't know what to do. See, we smart. Stop being so doggone smart. You don't know what to do. If you knew what to do, then you'd have done it and you'd have it, right? I always tell people that. It's easy. It's easy. If I really knew what to do and how to do it, then I would have done it and it would have been done. So I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So now I only do what the Holy Ghost is prompting me to do. So promise, inside there is hope because I'm trusting that what he's going to do, what he said he's going to do. And the only thing that I do is what he does through me. I don't make my own decisions. There's a difference between a good idea and wisdom. Got a lot of good ideas, but how do you implement? Is it the right time? Is it where it's supposed to be? Am I doing it where it's supposed to be? No, but it's just a good idea. Nobody don't care about your good ideas. Where's the wisdom? The wisdom only comes from the Holy Ghost. Did he promise you that? Let's go back and talk to the Lord about the promise right quick.
Uh-oh. Hold on. I always wanted to do this. I wanted to preach like they preach on TV. Y'all ain't about to get me rebuked up in here. Possibly to call me on the phone and say, sit down, the message over. Don't say nothing else. Don't say another word. The promise is based on his will. The promise is his will. So now your hope has to be based on that. You have to function from that place, from the promise. I'll teach you. It's not about us, right? It didn't start with us, so it's not going to finish with us. It didn't start with us, it's not going to finish with us, and the middle ain't going to be worked out by us either. It's going to be worked through us. Everybody say through me. Through. Come on, tell God, God work through me. God. Now, in order for him to work through you, you got to have your pipes clean now. You can't be all clogged up with doubt and unbelief and anger. That's why the Bible says forgive, that you'll be forgiven. If you have ought against your brother, go forgive. Why? Because it clogs up your arteries. Get the fear out. Perfect love casts out fear. It's those things. See, this is why we pray in the Holy Ghost every day and read the word. It's to keep our pipeline clear so when he wants to work through us, it's open for him to flow through us. You know, so it's not about us. It didn't come from us. And so I went to the scripture, and the scripture says, we only love God. Why? So God is always first. Say it, God is always first. Come on, say it again, God is always first. So if God is always first, then everything that we're supposed to operate in always starts with him, right? He's not going to tell you to do something that he hasn't done already. He's not going to tell you to die if he didn't die already, right? He's not going to tell you to do these things unless he's done it first, because he leads by. So is it proper to say, or is it proper to believe that God hoped in us before we hoped in him? Listen to me. And We'll read it after Romans 5 and a little bit later. Start talking about how Jesus died. Let me read it. Come on, Romans 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And hope make it not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That's us. For scarcely for a righteous man one will die, yet peradventure for a good man some will even dare. But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet sinners, sometimes we still yet. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So what that's telling me is Jesus died before we said any prayers, before we joined the church, but before we decided to give our lives to him, he died for us. God had hope first. God believed in us. He believes in us still. I'll connect your grace and your mercy to your hope. I was listening to a song this morning. And it's amazing how God will speak. This song I've been listening to over and over again, but I never heard this. And the line says this. It says, I'm reminded of how far we've come. It says, mercy sings the promise of your love. And I said, well, I'm reminded how far we've come. Because, you know, you remember. You know, can you remember some place he brought you from? Yeah, how soon do we forget? But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, right? But they said, mercy sings to me the promise of your love. The promise of your love. Mercy, what is mercy? Me not getting something that I deserve. Come on, what is mercy? Me not getting something that I should get. I should get penalized. But mercy, everybody say mercy. Because of mercy, I don't get what I should have got. And then grace gives me something that I'm not good enough to get, that I can't reach that. It makes me better than I am by myself. So now grace and mercy, we connect that with the hope. God had hope in us first. Y'all do know that when he gave the job, like in the beginning, and then he made us, you do know that we messed the whole mission up in about 6 or 7 days, right? I just want to remind us that we messed it up. It's like you just got the job and you messed up on the fourth day. I just promoted you and you just messed up. I messed it up for all mankind. Yet God still made promises. And he kept on promising. And he kept on promising Abraham. He kept on promising Noah. He kept on promising Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joshua, and Moses. He kept on going through the Bible, making promises. He kept on believing. God kept hope in us. We only love him because he first loved us. The life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So it's not mine, it's his faith. So now my hope has got to be in his hope. Are y'all with me? It begins with him. It starts off with him. He started this. Listen, grace and mercy tells me that God has hope in me because I keep messing up. I keep not listening. I keep going the wrong way. I keep whatever it is that I'm doing that ain't what he told me. I keep doing that, but grace keep me in and mercy keep me in because he got hope in me. So the same way you ought to have, oh, Lord Jesus, the same way you ought to live life gracefully, listen, and mercifully, listen, the same way you ought to live, regardless of how your life is acting towards you. Just because life is acting up, or don't listen every time you say something, sound like us, don't it? Don't it sound like us a little bit? God say something, but we do something else? You tell life to do something, but it do something else, even in all that grace and mercy, and keep hope alive. The only way he going to have hope in me is if he got grace and mercy too. That's the only way, because I'm going to mess it up. Say amen, please. Say amen real loud so everybody in the house. Everybody in the house say amen, because you going to mess it up. We be skipping out on them amen. You like, hey, I don't know, but amen. So the grace and mercy proves to me that God, now that's powerful to hear, that God has hope in you. God is hopeful for you. Do y'all understand what that means? That God is sitting there and expecting something greater from you. He's thinking about future things for you. Jeremiah 29:11. Go there. Come on. Preach, Leroy Jr. Preach. Jeremiah 29:11. Come on. Flip them pages. Come on. Because I want you to read it. Matter of fact, don't read it out loud. Just read it right quick and just think about it. You read it once? Read it again. Just look at it. It's called meditation. Think about hope. Think about his hope in you. Think about him having hope in who you're supposed to be. Think about him having hope in who he created you to be. Before you was formed in the belly, he knew you. He already had a plan. Let's read together. Ready, read. Says who? Says the Lord, right? Let's start over again. Read it from the beginning. Ready, read. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected, I expect, to give you an expected end. Listen to me. When I started saying, I went for years not saying this. When I started saying that God loves me, I wasn't telling nobody else. I was acknowledging, God, God loves me. When I started realizing that and acknowledging that, my whole understanding changed. Like my eyes got open and I started seeing that God wants me to make it. Like he really has aspirations for me. Like as a parent with a child, you want them to make it. God really wants me to make it. God, not only does he want me to make it, but he's setting me up and ordering my steps and giving me direction so I can make it. Would you just yield? If you stop fighting and just yield, stop swinging, yield. Stop running all over the place. Just yield. Stop moving. You move from here to here to there and this and there and there because you think it's somewhere else. No, it's on the inside of you. Just yield. To give you an expected end. Knowing this, that God is hoping, God has hope in me. God started off with him. He could have wiped us out. I told you not to eat the apple. Wow. And that's a wrap. We just being believed. I don't even know where we'd be at. But he kept going. Think about how many times you read all these little books in the Bible, all these different prophets. Every time you start one of those books, it said the children of Israel messed up. The children of Israel disobeyed. The children of Israel did this. They did that. They wouldn't listen. All over, they didn't listen. God still said, I'm going to make a promise, and I'm going to keep my promise, and I'm going to make more promises. Thank God he sent Jesus so we can have grace and mercy along with the promise. Are y'all with me? Look at your neighbor, tell them don't give up hope. Come on, look at your neighbor, tell them don't give up hope. Listen, keep hope alive. It's based on the promise. You lose hope. Listen. I'm going to say this, got a couple seconds. When you feel like you're losing hope, or you feel like it's getting thin, go back to the promise. Yeah, when you feel like you're forgetting what he told you, go back to it. And what about say, write the vision, make it plain, right? When you feel like you're losing it and you don't have it anymore, go back to the promise and go back to love. It's going to power you up, amen? Amen and amen.